Welcome to Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine's podcast series on fillers and injectables, brought to you by Mentor, makers of Prevel, and the Multispecialty Foundation. I'm Jeffrey Frenson, editor of Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine. In part four of this four-part series, we look at the applications of fillers and injectables to areas other than the face. Joining me is Dr. Joseph Nyamtu, a cosmetic surgeon based in the Norfolk, Virginia area.
In terms of non-facial usage of fillers, I think, Jeff, this is something that we're going to see really expand as more and more specialties incorporate cosmetic procedures. As you may know, the OBGYNs do G-spot enhancement with fillers. The podiatrists use them to cushion bunions and other podiatric problems. Some urologists and other practitioners use fillers for penile enhancement, and some dermatologists will use fillers for acne scars or vaccination scars on the extremities or the trunk. And of course, injectable fat, which is in many people's mind the ultimate filler, has so many usages all around the body. So when you stop and think about it, these things have developed to plump lips and to plump out wrinkles and fill in dents, if you will. And they're really not limited to the face. So I think this is something that you're going to see. I subscribe to a service that alerts me anytime there's a new article on Botox, which, as you can imagine, there are numerous ones daily. But it never ceases to amaze me how the depth that we're seeing of other specialties that are incorporating these situations. And this example, of course, is Botox. But I think fillers are going to go the same way. We're going to see more and more uses off the face.
Is there anything you'd like to say about this subject that we haven't talked about?
You know, as exciting as fillers are, and as fun as they are to do for the surgeon, and as great of a quick fix it is for the patients, there is a problematic situation, and that is complications. One of the pushes that patients want and that industry tries to deliver are permanent fillers. And on one hand, that sounds pretty good, but you have to remember, and you have to tell your patients, that with permanent fillers come permanent complications. It can be a situation gone wry. If you're using silicone or Artifill or some of these fillers that are hard to change, the only possibility of correcting or improving an overcorrection would be surgical intervention. It's really important for novice injectors to stay with a filler that they can control, and in the worst scenario, it's going to go away. It's going to be resorbed and reverse the result. One huge safety valve that we've seen crop up in the last couple of years with the increasing popularity of the hyaluronic acid fillers is the drug hyaluronidase. And hyaluronidase, of course, will digest the hyaluronic acid. It will hydrolyze this filler. And if you have an overfilled lip or wrinkle or tear trough or any other anatomical area, you can inject the hyaluronidase and in a matter of hours reverse that situation. And that remains a very strong playing card when choosing a filler, especially for novice surgeons. Another thing that we're going to see as being problematic, Jeff, is that as you know, so many of these fillers have been in use in Europe. My friends in Europe, in Italy, in Australia, in the United Kingdom, some of them have 70 choices for fillers. There's a lot of horror stories out there, and these surgeons have witnessed it firsthand, where you have granulomatous reactions, allergic reactions, nodules, isolated granulomas, some pretty nasty complications that they see with these fillers. And a lot of this stuff is kind of just being repainted and repackaged and will be available on our shores. And my friends continually caution me to really look into some of these new fillers that may become FDA accepted because they have been problematic in other countries, and that won't change just because they're introduced in our country. So I think that as much as all doctors and all patients want to herald these new advances, we must be judicious and really do our homework before bringing this out and trying it on patients, because as all doctors are aware, All it takes is one significant complication with a severe facial deformity because of a granulomatous reaction or other problem, and it can certainly be problematic in your practice.
Tune in to all four episodes of Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine's Fillers and Injectables podcast series. I'm Jeffrey Frenson. Thank you for listening.